Welcome back to the podcast. It's Thursday if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, but for me, it is Monday. I'm recording this super early, and if I'm honest with you, I probably would have recorded this early Sunday morning, like 3 a.m. when I got home, but I had so much stuff going on. I was buzzing. I had a lot of editing to do, and Saturday was a huge day, and the reason for that is because of the title of this podcast. It is titled, They Said Yes. Who are they, and what do they say yes to? Well, stick around, and I'll tell you about it, but first of all, I just want to, again, thank you guys so much for being here. Those of you that have stuck with me through every podcast for however long you've been listening, whether you've been listening since the beginning, or listening for a month, for a week, if you're a returning listener, thank you. I really appreciate it. Okay. So Saturday, I was in Baltimore, Maryland, going to see a band called Armor for Sleep. Now, Armor for Sleep is a band that they have been around, God, this would go back to, I want to say 2002, although there is a chance that they, and I probably should have just pulled their wiki up, but there's a chance that maybe even 01, and maybe they just didn't get signed to like 02 or whatever. I don't know their entire full history. What I know is that I've known this band, or know of this band since, at the very least, 2003, but I think they predate that. First time I ever saw them was 2003 Skate and Surf Fest in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Skate and Surf Fest, man, let me tell you, as somebody who was a part of the early to mid 2000s quote unquote scene, which, you know, encapsulates punk, emo, indie, hardcore, wherever you fall into that spectrum, the Skate and Surf Fest for, I believe, 02, 03, 04, and I'm sure it's maybe even been around maybe before that, but I think 04 was the last year for the Skate and Surf, because then there was like Bamboozle, this whole other backstory. If you know me, I get long-winded, so I'm just going to spare you. But 03, 04 Skate and Surf was like my equivalent of going to like a Woodstock, a Lollapalooza, or something to that degree. You just have this entire like large collection of bands that are playing at this festival, and I've saw so many incredible bands that played at this festival in 2003 and 2004. But my memory of Armor for Sleep comes on the, they played on the arcade stage. There was three stages that were inside the building. There was, I think, two stages outside, but you had the stage, the main stage, which is like the convention hall. Then you had the Paramount Theater, which was next door to that. But in the middle, they had this big open area. It's like the passageway between, if you're going to like the main area, the main stage of the Paramount. And in the middle, they had a stage called the Arcade Stage, where actually a lot of fucking awesome bands played. Fall Out Boy in 2003, before, you know, Grand Theft Autumn exploded. And, you know, was it Take This to Your Grave? Like, before all that, just incredibly exploded. They were playing on this little ass arcade stage. I saw, who else did I see? The Reunion Show, Count the Stars. A lot of incredible bands on this arcade stage. But what I remember was Friday, and it was sometime in the evening before the sun had gone down, because the ambience, you know, the experience, the lights, the sounds, all this stuff was perfect for these guys, because, you know, the sun is starting to go down a little bit. You can kind of see the sun creeping through the window in between the buildings, and they're playing, and they're playing very, very well. A lot of energy, a lot of great sound. And it was just a memory. I don't know why that this was something that just stuck in my mind, other than this was a really cool band that I was seeing for the first time. I think I knew of exactly one of their songs, which was Dream to Make Believe. And yeah, it was just such an awesome memory. And I, you know, I couldn't even tell you the whole set. I couldn't tell you everything they played, but I just remember I knew them for that song, but I remember them playing the song All Warm. And yeah. It was a cool vibe, which actually, when I saw them on Saturday, they didn't even play All Warm, which I was like low key bummed about, but that's all right. They played literally everything else that I would want to hear. So that was awesome. Now that I'm 5 minutes in, now that I've gone long-winded, now that I'm like super duper excited, as if you couldn't tell already, now we get to the part. You know the who, Armor for Sleep. Now let me tell you about the yes. So, before the pandemic, they had announced that they were going to do the anniversary, the 15-year anniversary of the album What to Do When You Are Dead, which is an incredible album. I feel like, to me, I like their albums equally, but clearly this is the one that I guess, you know, a lot of people cling to the most. This was probably their most commercially successful, you know, as far as like getting them more visibility and getting them out there. This is the one that did it for them. This is the one that got everybody like super duper excited. It even had this amazing song called Remember to Feel Real. Awkward pause. Where's the music? Oh, it's muted. It's muted. I was going to give you guys a sampling of the song right here. This riff is amazing, by the way. I love this. Okay, so that's like 15 seconds. I don't want to play any more. I don't want to get like sued or anything. But Armor for Sleep, amazing. That's my favorite track on the whole record, probably because I love the crunch of the intro and just the whole song overall. But that's, again, that's a sidebar, and we're here for the actual main story. So before the pandemic, they announced that we're going to do a 15-year anniversary tour of What to Do When You Are Dead. They're going to play the album from front to back, including that amazing song that you just heard a snippet of right there. And they were going to have a meet and greet where you could, you know, meet the band. And I actually had never met Armor for Sleep. I do believe I was at a merch table at Skate and Surf, and Ben, the singer guitar player, walked by, and I might have said, "Hey man, what's up? You know, cool set." He's walking by. There's no like real, like true meeting. Like, "Hey, I'm Gary. Hey, I'm Ben. What's up?" You know, and just chatting. I think it was more like, "Hey, what's up? You guys are awesome." Something like that. Just the briefest of interactions. So I decided, number one, I'm going to the show. Number two, I'm going to get this meet and greet. So, because I was like so excited to tell them about that Skate and Surf memory that I had that I referenced a few minutes ago. And that was actually the last time I ever saw them live, back in 2003, which seems like a really long time ago, because obviously they would have toured multiple times, like for Dream to Make Believe, What to Do When You're Dead, so on and so forth. But I think the problem lies was that they usually played either Baltimore or Richmond, and at the time that they were an actively touring band, I did not drive. So the shows that I got to, I was incredibly lucky to get to, and I guess I just didn't have any friends that loved Armor for Sleep as much as I did, so it was a little bit harder to get them to go to an Armor for Sleep show. That's my best guess as far as why 03 was the first time I saw them, and this past weekend in 2021, some, 18 years later, is the next time that I would see Armor for Sleep. Because even when I told them that in the meet and greet, they were like, "Wow, that's really the last time you saw us." And I wanted to go on and on about, you know, probably my thought of why, but then I realized, no, I have a greater purpose here. So I met them. Okay. Let's rewind back just a hint more. Bear with me, folks. I'm just super excited, and I promise I will get to the point of the podcast. You have my word. Okay. As they started to ramp up this tour, and it was apparent that now, you know, COVID happened. It's not over by any means necessary. However, we are in a better spot where things like concerts can occur to a packed house. And, you know, you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask. It's up to the discretion of the venue, the band, and if people want to wear it or not. I wore mine. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you the situation. All right. So the tour is now happening, and they're posting all these really cool photos from the various tour dates that they are a part of. And I got this idea in my mind. What if I ask them, like, "Hey, can I take photos of your set?" Now, while my primary interest is video, I also enjoy taking photos. In fact, whenever I go to concerts, this is the craziest thing, because I know what people will say. You pay all this money to go to concerts, and all you ever want to do is have your phone out and you're taking pictures. Why is that? Because I have a passion for taking photos. The problem is I don't work for anybody that will give me access to a show to where I can bring my professional camera to a concert. Now, then you could probably make the argument, hey, you should probably find people. You're right. I should. I'm also introverted. I'm also like nervous and shy to ever ask for anything, which is what we're going to get to here in a moment. And so I always go to these concerts, you know, and I just pull out my phone and I try to get as close as possible, front row or close to, and I would usually sneak in like a point and shoot camera. I actually don't have a point and shoot camera at this moment, but I have my phone. That's okay. It's not the best, but it's okay. But that's my love. I love to go to concerts and just take photos. Am I like this amazing photographer? No. Am I a professional? No. Do I have a passion for taking photo and video? Yes. I have a great passion for it. So my thought is, what if I just simply ask them? I'll DM them on Instagram. I see them posting other people's photos all the time of where they said, hey, this was a great show, such. And it's not even a credit thing, but it's just like, there are people taking photos of this band on their tour. Now, I'm sure they work for outlets or they know the band or what have you. I'm not connected. That's a problem with a lot of these things, especially in the music world or YouTube or whatever. Like, in many ways, you need to be connected somehow, right? So like Larry and I, we can make videos all day till we're blue in the face, and we've built up a pretty respectable following for the time that we've been going at this. And so in time, we're going to make those connections. But when it comes to like photo and shit like that, I have zero connections. So I'm just taking a shot at something that is not guaranteed. I expect to be turned down. And that's just the end of it. Okay. So I DM them on Instagram. No response. Absolutely no response. And I'm not even mad about it, because here's the thing. When you're a band, you're going to get, you know, all sorts of notifications, interactions, these messages. Like when you have some sort of an account where you are either a creator account, a business account, something other than a personal account, messages from people that you do not follow or have not messaged with previously get thrown into a completely different other folder. To be fair, I might have had a slightly better chance if I commented on one of their posts, but then like they don't know me. They don't know my cadence. They don't know my personality. Excuse me. They don't know who the fuck I am. Like, they can look on my Instagram and they can see photos that I've taken at other shows. And that was kind of what I was banking on, was they were going to see the photos that I had on my Instagram and say, okay, you know, he's all right. Yeah. What the hell? Yeah. Or nah, that, you know, those are okay, but you know, we don't really need a photographer, whatever the reasoning is. This is all the thoughts that go in my mind. Okay. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm just going to DM them. There's no response back. Okay. I'm probably in this other folder. Like, I'm never going to be seen ever unless they happen to go check, and then it's going to be too late. The show was like 3 weeks ago and they're like, oh, hey, sorry, missed this. You know, maybe we'll catch you in 5 years when we're touring again. But I was just like, you know, all right, I should just like literally go to the show and just ask them, like, what's the worst that could happen? Right. So I packed my camera bag, which is pretty much always packed. But what I mean by that is I'm charging batteries, clearing off memory cards. I carry my camera bag with me at all times. Like, it's on my back at all times, unless I'm at work and then it's sitting at my chair or my desk or whatever. But that bag is with me all the time, because you never want to miss out on an opportunity. So here we go. It's meet and greet time. I get there. They do the sound check. You know, they let us in. We do the sound check. And then they're saying, okay, we're going to go over by the merch table. We have some stuff to hand out, you know, as a goodie bag or whatever. I actually brought my copy of What to Do When You're Dead, the two-disc edition, which has the DVD, which is like the making of the record and all this stuff. That's not really vital to the story, but I just felt like, you know, dropping that. It's kind of a, like a low-key Armor for Sleep fan type flex. But so I bring this CD along. They didn't even notice, by the way. It's totally fine. And I, you know, it's my turn. It's two or three people ahead of me, and then it's going to be my turn. And I'm already in my mind, I'm already backing out. I'm like, yeah, I could ask them, but what kind of dick am I? Like, you know, do they really want to deal with this? Like, you know, or are they just going to kind of play like the friendly? No, well, it's okay. You know, well, you know, I expected to get blown off here. Totally expected to get blown off. All right. So it's my turn to go. And in my mind, I'm like, no, fuck this. I kind of like did like this. There's like one person in front of me and they're talking. They're kind of in like a nice little conversation. And I kind of just have this moment where in my mind, I pull myself aside, grab myself by the collar. And I said, no, you motherfucker, you are not going to pass up this opportunity. The band is right there and you have a chance to their face to ask them about this. You have that chance. You are not going to pass up on this opportunity, because if you do, it is going to haunt you. And to understand why I would even think like this or speak in such a way to myself, you have to understand me first. And that is that I am nervous. I am scared to literally try anything except for the YouTube that I'm kind of comfortable with, because it's just Larry and I. We know each other. We can pull out the cameras. We don't have to answer to nobody. We just make our videos. We upload them and boom, done. This is something where I have to ask someone else for permission for this opportunity. And when it comes to that kind of stuff, never done it. I could sit there on a bus with Chris Lane, one of the top country stars, which I did 6 years ago at a time where I was taking photos at every show with my phone and I had a semi okay camera, and I could have used that time and said, oh, by the way, I love taking photos. Is there a chance that I could take photos officially at one of your shows? I absolutely could have had that opportunity. Would I have been shot down? Maybe, because, you know, he is, you know, a big time country star. There are other people that I've had, you know, meet and greets with, like Dan and Shay, Thomas Rhett, Brett Eldridge, mostly country guys. That's mostly what I listen to in the present day, although I listen to everything. At any point on any of these meet and greets, I could have just flat out asked these guys on the spot, hey, I love taking photos at shows. I have a camera. Could I take photos of your show? You know, I'll give you all the photos. I don't want to be paid for it. I just want the access. I just want the permission to take photos. Not even access. Like, I'm not even talking like going backstage, hanging out with the band, none of that. I'm not asking for any of that. I just want that barrier removed that says you cannot bring a pro camera in here. I want to be able to bring in my pro camera and take photos of the band. And I will give those photos to said band in this time where I'm kind of just figuring my shit out. Like, I'm not the greatest photographer on planet freaking Earth, but you put a camera in my hand and I can be ultra dangerous. I can take some amazing photos, or what I think is amazing to my style. So I'm not looking for like new best friends. I mean, it'd be cool, but I'm not looking to like go backstage. I'm not looking to hang out on the side of the stage and all that. Be cool with the band. No, I want to take photos. Or if they said, hey, we need video, I would love to do that too. That would be amazing. Primarily video is my thing, but I also will do photos. I just realized now we're 20 minutes in just about, and I haven't even got to the whole punchline. So I have that talk with myself and I'm like, all right, dude, you're going to do this. There is a pretty good likelihood they'll probably say no. They don't know you. They don't know your work. I actually had my portfolio of photos pulled up on my phone already ready to go. So they said, oh yeah, well, what's some of your photos? Pull out my phone. Boom. This is what I take. And if they like it, they might say yes. If they don't like it, either they're going to flat out say no or they'll find a nice way to turn me down. But either way, win, lose, or draw, I'm okay with it. But I need to put myself in that chance to ask for this thing to potentially get it. Because if you don't ask, you don't get. And I can't tell you how many times in the years that I have been on this planet, 39 to be exact. Yes, I just dated myself very quickly right there. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that very bit of advice. You don't ask, you don't get. And many times in my mind, I have passed up that opportunity multiple times over because quite simply, I didn't have the balls to ask. Back when I used to do internet radio, when I used to interview celebrities, I was given phone numbers. Hey, text me, you know, let's talk sometime. Say what's up. It's happened. Did I ever text that person? No, because I didn't want to be a bother. I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to be that guy that's bugging them. I didn't want them to think, oh, I just did this guy's podcast or internet show. Now he's going to be asking me for free tickets or whatever or what, you know. This is all the shit that goes around in my mind. And literally all this stuff just builds up in my mind because I couldn't just simply ask for a yes or no answer until Saturday. There we go. 21 minutes in. Now we're getting to the good shit. Strap in. So I'm next. I walk up. I introduce myself. I hand them my CD. I said, hey, you know, can you guys sign this? It's kind of cool. They're all there. They can sign it. And I'm telling them the story about the skate and surf. And, you know, then I think it was, who was it that made the comment about, I really can't remember at this point because my mind is just going crazy at this point. But one of them was like, you know, hey, I can't believe, you know, how has it been that long since you've seen us? I was going to explain the car thing. And then I realized that they were trying to, you know, get this thing. I was towards the end of the line. So they're trying to get, not that they were rushing anybody, but I can kind of tell like, hey, we need to get this wrapped up because we got to get ready to open doors. And there's a whole other situation outside that we'll get into in a second. But I go to that story. I tell them about that story. And I said, oh, by the way, I would love to ask you guys. I don't know if this is possible. And there's kind of that look like, oh shit, what's this guy going to ask for? What does he want? And I was like, can I take photos for you tonight? I'm not a professional. I don't have a job with anybody in particular, but I have a camera across the street in my car. And I would be honored if I could take photos of you tonight. And Ben said, yes, yes, you can. And that was it. I said, thank you so much. I fist bumped him because, you know, COVID and the handshaking, I haven't done that in a while, but I gave him all a fist bump and I said, thank you so much for this opportunity. It really means a lot to me. He calls over this woman who I believe was the tour manager. I don't know if she's the tour manager of the whole thing or she works for Armor for Sleep specifically. I have no clue. I didn't even get the lady's name and I should have. And that's, I wish I got her name because then I could thank her properly. As if I didn't thank her like 10 times that night as I saw her throughout the night. But he called her over and said, hey, this is Gary. He's going to take some photos of us tonight. And can you get him set up with a photo pass? Because the Baltimore Soundstage venue does not permit pro cameras, as most venues do not. Can you get him a photo pass? Yada, yada, yada. They're off to go do band shit before the show. And she goes and gets me this wristband and says, all right, here you go. Go ahead and get your camera, come back. We're opening doors in like 15 minutes. And then, so I'm bolting and I'm like running across the street. I get my stuff. I come back. The security guy was a different guy. So he did not know me. He was not the same guy as the security that was there when I left like all of 10 minutes ago. So he sees the camera. He's like, oh, hold on a second. I'm like, yeah, the lady, I think I said tour manager, cause that's who I thought she was. She already gave me this pass. I pointed my wristband that she gave me and the guy's like, well, I got to go check it out. So he goes and gets her and she's like, oh yeah, yeah. He's fine. He's totally in the clear. But they're staging us outside because it's like still 10 minutes of seven. They're not ready to open the doors up yet. And there's this whole situation at Power Plant Live. Now Power Plant Live is an entertainment complex, which is exactly one block from the Baltimore Soundstage. It is a collection. There's like a Ram's Head Live, which is a concert venue. There is a number of bars and restaurants, etc. And supposedly there is like some sort of a gas leak. That is what my interpretation of from hearing different people whispering and talking. And they are trying to push everyone down a block or two for safety. And because we're that next block, there is the thought that they're going to need to move us. And so one of the people that works at the club, not anybody associated with the tour, they're like, oh shit, like we might have to cancel the show. And I'm like, oh shit. I just went through all of this. I built myself up. I got so freaking nervous. And now they're going to cancel this goddamn show and I'm not going to get to take any photos. And oh boy, this is just going to be a mess. So the fire marshal, a couple of police, they go into the venue. They go, I believe there's a downstairs to this club, and they check everything out and they say everything's fine and the doors can open. I think it's like maybe 10 minutes later, 15 minutes at the latest, past seven, and then we're in. So then I make my way over to the front of the stage, and you have the barricade, which holds back the people in the audience of the show. And then you have the stage, and there's this little area in between where security normally will go to get crowd surfers, you know, out of the pit if they need to be pulled out of the pit. And also, this is where the photographers go. Excuse me. Sorry about that. This is where the photographers go, and there you go. So I'm able to go in there. So I'm standing on the outside of the area, because I just don't want to just walk in. There's no other photographers in that area yet. So the tour manager comes up. She says, hey, I see you got your camera. Very cool. Have a good time tonight. You know, no stage access, no backstage access. And it'll be the first three songs of each act. And then you have to get out of the area, which I was like, okay, three songs, you know, that's fine. That's, I think from my research, that is standard for pretty much any photographer, unless you actually work for the actual band. Then of course you can go on stage, you got gimbal shots, you know, you're shooting video. Like, unless you actually work for that act, if you're just like a Johnny photographer, freelancer, working for the paper, magazine, website, whatever, you have the first three songs and that's it. You get nothing else. Okay. I can work with that. Again, I said, thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity. And I'm waiting for the first band. And I will tell you this, three songs, even if they're like 3 or 4 minute songs, let's just say it's 12 minutes, right? Let's just say it's 12 minutes. That might factor in, crowd applause at the end of the first or the second song, maybe a little bit of talking in between. That is like the longest 12 minutes of my life right there. Like, you know, when Armor for Sleep came up, the first three songs, I already know those songs because it's the first three songs on What to Do When You're Dead. Car Underwater, Truth About Heaven, Remember to Feel Real. And all those songs are about 3 and some change. So at max, we're around 12 minutes. But and even for the bands that I didn't know, the other two bands that Never Loved, and I don't know the name of the opening act. I should probably go look that up because I have pictures of them that I need to post online. But these first three songs, they actually feel like forever. So you're up there and you're like, holy shit, this feels like crazy. This feels like wild. You're up there and you're trying to find your spots. You're trying to find, like, you know, the right angles of somebody, the right lighting with those people, a cool angle of like two or three of the members interacting on the stage. What is the singer doing something cool? Does the guitar or bass player have their bass or guitar held up in some cool, unique way? Like, there's all these thoughts. Now with Armor for Sleep, I feel like it was a lot easier because this is a band that I know. These three songs, especially because they happen to be some of my favorite Armor for Sleep songs, I kind of know, all right, Ben's going to hold out his voice here. He's going to sing a little bit up, you know, like a little bit more amped in this particular spot. Like, it's towards the end, he's reinforcing the chorus or whatever. And he's going to, like, you know, let it out right here. He might hold onto a note here. Here's this really cool bass line, whatever it is. Like, I know the spots, but with the other bands, I did not know. So this was my chance to, like, with the first two bands, you know, kind of figure out the lighting, figure out some of the angles, the position, what exactly my camera can do. The one problem that I had was that all I have is a wide lens, a 17 to 28 millimeter lens. That's all I have on me. There is an 85 millimeter lens, which probably would have been really fucking awesome for some portrait shots at the show, but I did not have that on me. It was sitting on my A7 III at home, and I used my A7 S3 at this show because I was like, well, the A7 S3 has the better low light capabilities, and because I have an f2.8 aperture lens, I was like, okay, let me go with the one where I can crank the ISO a little bit and get away with a lot more. And if you don't know PhotoTalk, I'm really sorry to like really get in the weeds with it, but I think ideally, you know, I have to have an ultra wide lens for the Gary and Larry Edible Adventures YouTube channel, because usually we're either filming in a car or somewhere where we need the camera to be in close range, but it's a wide background. So like, you know, if somebody runs up and decides to grab the camera, it's within hand's reach. I can grab that motherfucker and yank it back. Like, you ain't getting my camera. All right. I have it within arm's reach at all times, but in the car, it's a lot more tighter because I'm sitting in the front seat and sitting on the dashboard. And with a 17 millimeter or even a 20 millimeter focal range, I'm in a position where I can still have an ultra wide look, even though the camera is so close. In a concert setting, though, even though I've heard many people say like a 16 to 35, which is pretty close to what I had, is a good, you know, it's a good option for me. I think that with my style, the way that I shoot, a 24 to 70 probably would have been better. Or I could have even gone Tamron 28 to 75, because on most of the shots, I was maxing out at 28. Like, I was going full on the fullest length of that lens, which is the 28. And you know, that's just where I was with most of the shots. There was a couple of cool shots I can get super wide, but most of the shots were shot 28 millimeter. So I think if I had that ability to go 24, 35, 50, and then up to 70 millimeters, that would have been probably better in my favor, but lesson learned. I still got this opportunity and I took the absolute best photos that I could take with the opportunity that I had, the experience that I had, and the short notice that I had. And the fact that this is the first concert I've gone to since 2020, January of 2020. Okay. So my photo taking abilities, even as far as taking photos at concerts, it's been like over a year and a half since I've had this opportunity, but now I know. So now I know, okay, Gary, in your budget, you need to save up for a 24 to 70 or a 28 to 75 millimeter so that you have more room to breathe when it comes to taking these photos. But other than that, I have the camera I want, the dream camera that I want. And probably most importantly, as I've now gone 33 minutes, it's probably the longest podcast I've done all year long. But more importantly is that I took this chance. I took this opportunity that was right in front of me. I could have easily backed out like I've done just about every single other time. And I could have just easily just backed away and said, nope, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to shake their hand, tell them how much I love their band, and go and enjoy this show from the front row and have a great time. What happened instead was I had this opportunity because I simply asked them a yes or no question. They gave me a yes. They gave me a chance to take the abilities that I know and apply them in this setting with a band that I love. And I think the results are tremendous. And in fact, if you want to go see the results for yourself, you can head over to my Instagram at Gary Cantrell, where I posted, I think, like 10 photos. You can check out Twitter, which I posted a couple more. And I think facebook.com/GaryTakesPhotos, which is my photography account that I have not used in forever. There's also photos up there as well. So there's an entire slew of photos and options to check out. And it was awesome. And I think the photos will speak for themselves. It's very much my style, kind of dark with the very contrasty and colorful lights. That's just my particular style. That's the way I like to do my photos, whether it's shooting them, editing them. That's the style that I like. But I think all in all, it ended up being an incredible opportunity that I absolutely maxed out to the best of my personal ability. And the result that I got in the end was a night that I will never forget, a night that I bet on myself. and a night that could potentially pave the way for future opportunities, because now I know what happens when you take a chance like that. You take a risk that you could either get a yes or a no, and this is what happens if you get a yes. This is the kind of opportunity. So you hear the music. That's my cue to get the hell out of here. My God, I have no business doing a 35-minute podcast at this point, but it was an incredible night, an incredible memory. And if you're still here at the 35-minute and a half mark, you are the real MVP. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. If you listen on an Apple device, if you like the kind of stuff I do here, leave a review. It helps out discoverability for new people to find this podcast. And with that, I'm getting out of here. Find me on Twitter at Gary Cantrell, Instagram at Gary Cantrell, all the things, Gary and Larry's Edible Adventures, do all the things, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.